So this week I was really asking the Lord what he really wanted me to share with my family. And it's just something I have been going through and I think we can all relate to. So the title that he has given me is, Have You Forgiven? One thing I've learned is going through the study of this is the different types of forgiveness. We have exoneration, we have forbearance, and we have release. Each one has an overbearing impact on our lives and our walk with the Lord. So I'm going to kind of expound on each one briefly. So just again, just pray for me, just being an empty vessel for the Lord tonight. So first one, exoneration. So as I was going through this, the dictionary says the act of clearing someone of a blame of an accusation. So basically, vindication or accusing someone of something. Exoneration is wiping the slate clean entirely and clean and restoring the relationship full state of innocence before harmful action. So in terms of like someone who has gone to prison and being exonerated for something that he did not do. So that's kind of what exoneration kind of speaks out. And then, one person that I always think of that had an accusation was Jesus. Jesus responded with a silence from the front of Pilate, the governor, and while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered and said nothing. And I thought about that. I'm like, wow. Like, how much peace Jesus has that he knew that he was being accused for something, but yet he kept silent. Because sometimes it's not what you say, it's what you don't say. And that's when God gets the glory in those little situations like that, when you don't say anything, when you're being falsely accused or being exonerated for something that you have no blame for. So there's a few of these scriptures I want to go through that the Lord gave me. One of them is, and you can turn or I could just read here as well, Romans 12 and 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So in things like that, when we're being falsely accused, we got to give it to the Lord because he can deal with this so much better than we can. Because what we do is that, first of all, we lose our witness. We lose an opportunity to witness to a soul who may not know. Sometimes it's even closer to that. It could be family members. That has falsely accused you of something. And that is an opportunity that I always see to be able to draw them to the Lord. But if we speak on it and respond to it, then that could be that one moment that we miss it. And we don't want to miss it at all. Another scripture that the Lord gave me was Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men should revile you and persecute you and should say all matter of evil against you falsely for my sake. And I'll just be transparent. I can, definitely reflect to this, a lady on my job who has falsely accused me of things. And at that moment, I really had to pray because my first response was to get revenge. But the Holy Spirit said, no, bless them that persecute you. And when I did, I was like, okay, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. And it takes me back to Jeremiah 20:11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they should not prevail. They should be greatly ashamed, for they should not prosper. Everlasting confusion should never be forgotten. So, even in that, God had to show me that regardless of how she's responding to you, respond in love, in love. And so what I did was I blessed her with something, and she was surprised. because she knew she was wrong, but yet, even in that, God got the glory. And at the end of the day, everything we do, we want to give glory to God in our actions, in our speak, in our countenance, in everything that we do. But it's not always easy. So another one of the forgivenesses that I really want to expound on is forbearance. And I think we can all relate to this one. In the dictionary, according to the dictionary of man, is the act of forbearing, refraining from something, forbearing conduct or quality. So sometimes people will do things deliberately, willingness to put up with disagreeable things in pursuit of higher goals. Sometimes, you know, it can be complicated because sometimes the offender may have a partial apology. They may say they're sorry, but yet there's a hidden agenda behind it, as in, okay, I'm saying I'm sorry, but I really don't mean it, you know? And so sometimes it's not authentic, and that's when you know that makes it harder to forgive because they're doing it deliberately. When someone deliberately hurts you, and I can speak for myself, you know, just in things of, you know, from work to family, I think the hardest thing in forbearance that speaks is when you have a family member or someone in the body of Christ that you call your sister, your brother, who hurts you deliberately, when they should know better. And so it hurts because they don't even acknowledge what they did. And I think that's a complicated thing, when they don't even acknowledge what they did and they have no apology for it. So then you're like, well, God, how can they continue to walk in the Lord and they have this in their heart? How can they continue to serve you and be and walk in ministry, but yet they have no forgiveness in their heart? So those are the ones that we would think that would have forgiveness in their heart. So what does the Lord say? The Lord says from Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So God himself right then let us know that through the blood of Jesus that he declared righteousness for the remission of our sins. And Jesus is a perfect example of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should not sin should not sin but have everlasting life. That to me speaks profoundly, because none of us deserves forgiveness, but he gives it to us even when we don't deserve it. So it goes back to, for if Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we want God to forgive us for the things that we go through, but we don't want to forgive my brother who has persecuted us. And what we don't understand is that we hinder ourselves from growing spiritually when we don't release that. And that's what release is, as far as the third portion of the forgiveness. Releasing it to God just allows you to let the burden go that is weighing you down, is preventing you from having the true joy. And it does, because you don't have that joy that you can have when you're walking in bitterness, when you're walking in anger, when you're walking in spite, in pride. And what we don't understand is that we're the hindering for what God has for us in that growth. And David speaks it profoundly. And I want to read this, because I read this almost every day. And it's Psalms 51, if you guys want to turn with me. You know, David sinned. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But yet God saw his heart, and God forgave him. But I think sometimes the hardest thing that we have is, once God forgives him, and forgive us as we've forgiven ourselves. And I think sometimes that's the hardest thing. And then sometimes we wonder why we're walking in, you know, we're not growing in the way that we should with the Lord because we have not forgiven ourselves. Psalms 51, I'm going to read the entirety. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thy dearest truth in thy inward parts, and in thy hidden part that thou should make me to know wisdom. Purge me from thy hyssop, and I should be clean. Wash me, and I should be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy and the gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide that face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from my blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, will thou not despise? Do good and thy good pleasures unto Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering, a whole burnt offering. Then they offer bullocks unto thy altar. Whew. That is just profound to me. Because he wants a broken and a contrite spirit. And that is being broken for unforgiveness. And it's just, forgiveness is what our Heavenly Father does. It is why Jesus came to be a healing and a restoration, to put his past behind us. So we were to put our past behind us. Because we continue to walk in unforgiveness and bitterness, it hinders us so much, and it robs us of the full life that God has intended for us. Rather than a promised justice for our unforgiveness, and make every effort and peace with everyone to be holy. But you see, no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter should rise up and cause trouble to defy many. And God made that clear. And understanding that our story is not about our failures. It's about God's victory and his forgiveness. And that's when John 3:16 just so hits my heart. That God so loved the world. That he loved each and one of us. That he gave his only begotten son. That whatsoever we believeth should not perish, but we will have everlasting life with him. Everlasting life with him. There is nothing no greater than to have that with the Lord. And to know that you can hold that crown, that no man can take it. Amen. That you can have that crown. But we can't have it when we walk in unforgiveness. And that's why that release is so important, because there's going to be many people in our lives that's going to accuse us of things. There's going to be many people in our lives who's going to not forgive us. But you have to forgive yourself and give yourself grace. Because you know what? At the end of the day, that's what God wants. It really does. Because unforgiveness will hinder our fellowship if we don't forgive men of their sins. So how can we ask the Lord to forgive us for our sins? Another one that really stands out, Ephesians 4:31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forsaken you. It just stands out for me. Because releasing it to God, just letting go of every burden of weighing down. And I could say, for the longest time, I was weighed down. Because I didn't have forgiveness in my heart. And once I forgave, the joy and the peace that I have, and feeling God's grace like never before. Because forgiveness is a gift that comes from a former grace and then is given as a gift in another form of mercy. His grace and his mercy. That's what we all seek. We want his grace and his mercy. But yet we don't want to forgive. And there's going to be people that's going to come into your life. Family. I think sometimes the hardest to forgive is family and church family, because I feel like there's an expectation that they should know. But even those who are not filled, how would they know? Because they only know what they know. And this is where you say, Lord, have mercy upon their souls, for they know not what they say, what they do, because they don't. But we, in the body of Christ, know. And it's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. And that process is being before the Lord, being in his presence, being in his word, prostrating yourself before him. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to allow anyone to take away my crown and the joy that I have with the Lord. We can't. Life is too short. Jesus is right here. He is right around the corner. So you got to ask yourself, have you forgiven? Have you forgiven that neighbor whose dog ate up your flowers? It's little things. Have you forgiven that family member that did you wrong? And I'm going to be a little transparent. God had to deal with me forgiveness of when I was a child being molested by a family member. And walking in that. And to get to a place that I could pray for them and really want them to be saved. I'm like, Lord, they don't know. They were children. So they only know what they know when they don't have the Holy Ghost, when they don't have the Lord. So you can't you can't blame people for what's happened in our lives. Because at the end of the day, God's going to hold us accountable. And he's going to look at our hearts. And said, I'll deal with them, but what about your heart? What did I tell you to do? What does my word say? I I tell you, it's been a journey. It has been a journey. But the Lord knows. And I pray that we can all get to that place, no matter what, who it may be, especially my brother and sister in the Lord, because we are to love one another as Christ loves us. And, you know, walking this walk with the Lord, I've seen a lot of forgiveness in the body of Christ. And it breaks my heart. Because we are a unity with one. And it's like, how can you love me, but yet you don't love your brother? There's so many burdens on my heart for the body of Christ. But one thing I see is there's a lot of unforgiveness. And not just for one another, but for ourselves. And I had to forgive myself. To know that I was a child, I didn't know any better. Forgiving your mother, who may have been on drugs. Forgiving her because she does not know. Because she has a sickness. But at the end of the day, you want her to be saved. A child who rebels and has spoken ill of you in so many ways. But yet you forgive them because you want God's best. And I definitely want God's best. Whew. And I also want to go to Mark 11:25, if you can with me. And when you stand praying, forgive, if ye not ought against any, that your Father also which in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. We want him to forgive us. But at the end of the day, this is a table for two. This is between Jesus and me and Jesus and you. And there's going to be stages of forgiveness. But the most importantly is forgiveness of release. Releasing it to the Lord. Releasing it to him. These burdens were not for us to carry. Because if we don't, we can't truly have what God has for us. Because forgiveness is not based on our works. Forgiveness and salvation are found completely in the person of God by Jesus, redeeming the work on the cross. But sometimes our actions demonstrate our faith, and it can extend to which we understand God's grace. God, he gives us grace. Even though we don't deserve it, God, he gives us grace. Turn with me to James 2:14-26. Because God's grace is so sufficient. There's just times when I'm at home and it's just me and Jesus. Mom is downstairs. Paula's gone. I'm at my desk and Jesus and I are just having a day. And let me tell you, it is probably some of the best times I've had with the Lord. It really is. I'm sorry. I'm just... take this little point out of here. James 2:14-26. And it reads, what doeth a profit a man by my brother, though a man may slay, though a man may say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed, filled, not withoutstanding, to give them not those things that are needful to the body, but what doeth profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Wow. I'm sorry, I got to stick on that for a minute. 17. If so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. So that just reminds me of just not having faith in the Lord, that he will heal your heart. That's that faith, that he will heal your heart of forgiveness, because only he can do it. We can't do nothing in ourselves. It is only through the Holy Spirit. It is only through the Holy Spirit are we able to love past someone who's hurt us. It is only through the Holy Spirit that you're able to give to someone who has persecuted you, who has given false accusations against you. Because we're incapable of that kind of love. We don't know that kind of love from a human standpoint. But through the Holy Spirit, we can. Which is why it's so important to have the Holy Spirit. Because we can't walk this walk. Not with the Lord. Not with a pure heart. The Lord told me to stop there. So we're not reading that entirely. I'm just being led by the Lord. Luke 7 and 47, please. And I'm almost done here. Excuse me if I'm glistening. I'm having a hot flash right now, so. I don't know if that's the nerves or the hot flash, but one, both of them, baby. So Luke 7, 47. And it reads, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loves much, but whom is little forgiven, the same loveth a little." So even not forgiving, how she so loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So that same amount of unforgiveness that we give, that's the same amount that God would give. But we want his fullness. We want his full grace. We want his full forgiveness. But we got to walk in that. I'm sorry. I'm just astounded just in some of the things that the Lord has shown me in walking in forgiveness. And I can speak for myself. I think sometimes when we truly grasp the greatness of God and the gift to us, that we would pass the gift along, that we have been given grace, we should give grace unto others in return. If we want that same grace, we got to give it in return. We have to. Because otherwise, again, we hinder our growth with the Lord and what he has for us. So, as I close, I ask again, have you forgiven? Amen. Thank you.